We come again to our studies in the Gospel through Luke, and again may I make the plea that every one of you who listens in day after day, read the Gospel through Luke as often as you can, especially the chapters that are under consideration. Sometimes, possibly, I think that I spend too much time on detail in these precious stories, but if I can only get some of the truth by the Spirit of God into your heart as well as your head, it would be worth everything, and we rejoice in the fact of your cooperation with us, with your prayers and with your gifts, for only thus can the program continue. But we rejoice in the faithfulness of God, and we rejoice in your faithfulness to him as well as to us. I just felt like saying that to you today, because if it were not for the cooperation and prayers of God's people, I question whether any of us could carry on in these days. But oh, how faithful he is, and we thank the Lord for your faithfulness. And we're dealing in chapter 7 with one of the most precious little stories we have in the whole New Testament, the revelation of our Lord in his love for sinners. You remember at the very beginning of our study in the Gospel through Luke, we said in chapter 5 he's the one who forgives a sinner. In chapter 7, he loves the sinner. In chapter 15, he's the friend of sinners. In chapter 18, he justifies the sinner. In chapter 19, he seeks the sinner. In chapter 14, the very heart of God, revealing his real desire for sinners to come and know him and sit at his table and enjoy that richness of relationship and fellowship. Now, in our last lesson, we were dealing with this little story at the end of chapter 7 of Luke. I do not want to take the time to read it all over again. I may give you the gist so we can pick up the connection. Here's a story of a Pharisee who invited Jesus to his house for dinner. Now, just before this, our Lord had rebuked the religious leaders for their unbelief. Now, one of these Pharisees who had great respect for the Savior, I'm afraid I must say, no love for the Savior. In fact, he was full of criticism concerning the Savior. But in this story, we have this Pharisee invited the Lord to come and have dinner with him. And while the Lord is in the Pharisee's house, a woman from the opposite side of the track, one from the opposite pole, came into the house, stood behind Jesus, and she wept, and her tears fell upon his feet. And she took her hair down, and she wiped the hairs off his feet and took the most precious thing she had, an alabaster box of ointment, and poured the ointment on his feet. And then this Pharisee criticized the Savior for it. And after this, you have the story of the incident of the two debtors. Now, let me go back and make, and I don't mind repeating one or two things here, so you get them in your heart. You remember the Pharisees were the conservative theologians of the day. Very, very moral, very religious, very legalistic. And he had no compassion for sinners. In fact, I would say, like a lot of folk, they want to go to heaven, but they do not want to go into heaven in company with sinners. Well, the only way you'll ever get to heaven is to be a redeemed sinner. And who wants the Savior to accept sinners? It's not your religion that saves you. It's not your morality that saves you. It's your relationship to Jesus Christ that saves you. He was the one who died to put away your sin. He's the one who has made provision to fit you for the presence of God, so on. So you have where the Pharisee manifested his neglect of the Savior. And I want to pass on to you and press for your devotion to the Savior, because the Lord appreciates it. You know, sometimes I think we Christians fail to realize that the Lord sees everything. A little widow, you remember one time, a little widow just dropped 2 mites into the box, into the offering box. Nobody else saw that but Jesus. He saw that. Likewise here. He came into the Pharisee's house. The Pharisee didn't even do the common courtesies of the day by washing his feet, giving him a kiss of welcome, anointing his head with oil. No, the Pharisee stood to one side and criticized the Lord for having compassion for sinners. Now let's look at the woman for a while. Here is the woman who came into the presence of Jesus and the Pharisee. As I said, and I repeat it, This woman would never have thought of going into the house of Simon the Pharisee if it hadn't been for the fact that Jesus was there. You know, I'd like to emphasize this, and I would like to find the words to do it, for you to see it. That the ones who have access in the presence of God are not so much religious moral people, but repentant sinners. Repentant sinners. And that wherever the Savior is, repentant sinners have full access. This woman came into this house because Jesus was there. And Jesus is right now at the very right hand of God. As Hebrews chapters 1, 8, 10 and 12 declare, our Lord sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And you and I, if we are repentant sinners, have a right to come into the very presence of God. Think of it. Think of it. You and I right now can come right into the very presence of the living God because Jesus is there. And who is Jesus? He's the Savior of sinners. He's the friend of publicans and sinners. Oh, the compassion, the love that he has for sinners. No wonder Jesus said, come unto me, I'll give you rest. No wonder in John 6:37 he said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So we see here, not only a repentant woman with her tears, and I'm sure she must have heard something of the Savior, but mark her devotion. She washed his feet with tears. She wiped them with the hairs of her head. She kissed his feet, poured out her treasure upon his feet. She placed everything at his feet. Love does that. She placed herself, all that she had, her treasures, at his feet. Have you done that? Have you done that? This is what love does. This is what love does. You don't read of the Pharisee doing this. Oh, no. Oh, no. But we see this repentant sinner doing this. Now, being criticized by Simon the Pharisee, the Lord Jesus said to Simon, Simon, I've got something to say to you. And he said, Master, say on. And then the Lord told the story of the two debtors. Listen to it. There was a certain creditor. He had two debtors. One fellow owed him 500 pence, or $500, if you please, and the other owed him $50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, which one of them will love him most? And Simon said, I suppose, he to whom he forgave most. And he said, yeah, that's right, Simon. Now notice verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said to Simon. He didn't turn to Simon and speak to him. He turned to the woman. And then over his head, he said to Simon, Simon, do you see this woman? You don't. You don't see this woman. You think of her as a sinner from across the track. I see her as a repentant woman. And he rebuked Simon for his lack of courtesy. You give me no water to wash my feet. This woman hasn't even stopped washing my feet. You give me no kiss. Simon, do you see this woman? No, you don't. I see one kind of a woman and you see some other kind of a woman. You see her as you think she is. I see her as she really is, a repentant sinner. And she manifests that repentance by pouring out her love upon me. Simon, you have no love for me. You haven't even poured anything on my feet. Can I ask you a question, my friend? How much devotion, how much love do you have for the Savior? I'm telling you, I don't know how it strikes you, but it sure hits me. This dear woman, despised by the religious leaders, is in love with the Savior. She's devoted to the person of Christ. She manifests that devotion by her tears, by washing his feet, by pouring her ointment on his feet, and she herself at his feet. Oh, Christian friend, you who claim to love the Savior, how much devoted are you to the Savior? How much am I? When I read this story, and I've read it over and over again, I have to ask myself, well, Mitchell, how much devoted are you to the Savior who gave himself to redeem you out of all iniquity? How devoted are we to the one who left heaven's glory and became an accursed thing on a tree to redeem us from sin and fit us for God's presence? We boast sometimes about our faith in Christ. I wonder how much love we have for Christ. How much devotion we have for him. He's always devoted to us. He always loves us. His affection for us, his devotion to us, his love for us, his compassion, everything else, absolutely 100%. In spite of our frailty, in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our failures. Oh God, grant that you and I might learn a lesson from this dear woman. She put everything at his feet. And Jesus rebukes the Pharisee when she said, he turned to the woman and then said to her, Simon, do you see this woman? You don't see her. How often even we Christians will sit in judgment on other Christians. We don't see them as God sees them. We don't see them as the Savior sees them. God always sees every Christian perfect in Christ. It's true, we do not live perfect lives, but God never sees us apart from his Son. Oh, that we who love the Savior may take the rebuke that we have in this passage, and God grant that every one of us may know in the future what it means to be wholehearted in our devotion, in our love to the Savior. Oh, how we rebuke this religious leader in front of this woman. Now let me go on. A certain man had two fellows. One owed him $500. One owed him $50. Now notice verse 42. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Now here's the story, the lesson. It was not their love for the creditor whereby they were forgiven. It was his love for them. It's not your love for the Savior that brings you forgiveness. It's his love for you that grants forgiveness. And by faith, you accept what he has done. Look at the end of the chapter. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven her. She loved much, to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said to her, thy sins are forgiven. And then some of the folks began to criticize him. Who in the world is this that forgives sin? He said to the woman, notice how he ignored them. He said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. He didn't say your love, your devotion, your affection saves you. Your faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Now the story of the two debtors, it was not their love for the creditor. The man who owed $500, this is the thing about his love. The man who owed 50, nothing about his love. When they were both bankrupt, and it made no difference whether he owed 50 or 500 or 5 million. If you're bankrupt, you're bankrupt, you have nothing. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. I repeat it was his love that brought forgiveness, not their love for him. May I give you some scriptures on this? Oh, to me it's an amazing truth. So little realized by his people. We look at our faith and we say, well, I had to believe, I had to do this and I had to do that. No, my friend, it was his love. Romans 5:8 says, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet active in our sins, he loved us, and he died for us. Romans 5:8. Take Ephesians 1:7 and Colossians 1:14. What does it say? In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The forgiveness of sins, not according to our faith, not according to our love, according to the riches of his grace. Take Ephesians 4:32. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In 1 John 2:12, my little children, he's writing to these precious people of the first century, and he said, remember, your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Forgiven you for his name's sake. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, just put their trust in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't say those who have a tremendous love for the Savior, though one would love that. No, those that put their trust in him. That's the first step. Our love grows for him as we come to know him. But our love for him is manifested in devotion. But our faith, our trust in him, is when we experience forgiveness. Not our love for him. Oh, I'm pressing this. His love for us. Allow me to quote from the Epistle of John, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Herein is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Then he repeats it with a change in the next verse, verse 10. He sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That is, to be the one who shall redeem us out of all iniquity. To make provision for God to cleanse the slate. To give us a clean bill. Oh, the marvel of it. To know that you and I can experience forgiveness just because he loves us. What I would like to close with today, and I know I've spent quite a bit of time on this, but I want this to get into your very being. For those of you who are Christians, may I again say, this dear woman came in as a repentant sinner. You came to the Savior as a repentant sinner, and you accepted the Savior. And when she came in the presence of the Lord, she poured not only her ointment and her tears upon his feet, but she herself was found at his feet in worship, in devotion, in love for the Savior. That's what I'm talking to you about who are Christians. What he wants is not your wealth or even your service, though they have their place. What he wants is you. He wants your love. He wants your devotion. He wants your affection. Out of your devotion will come your service. Out of your love for him will come your testimony. And for those of you who may not know the Savior, may I say again, the Lord Jesus, because he loved you, because he loved you. So I may quote again that verse in Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet in our sins, active in our sins, Christ died for us. The provision has been made. And in love, he wants you to experience forgiveness. But you say, how can I have this forgiveness? If he's made the provision in love, what shall I do? He wants you to put your trust in him. He wants you to receive that forgiveness. And that forgiveness is wrapped up in the Savior. As Jesus could say to this woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. And then having put your trust in the Savior, I trust you'll fall in love with him. He's the friend of sinners. And the great thing that God wants from his own people is love, is devotion, affection. And this is evident, if I may go to John chapter 14, 21 and 23, this love, this devotion is manifested in obedience to his word. Oh, God grant to you and to me, who are Christians, we might manifest a wholehearted devotion for the Savior. We might be in love with him. And then thank him for his love. As I said a while ago, these folks who were in debt, doesn't say a thing about their love for the creditor. But it does speak of the grace of the creditor who frankly forgave them. And the Lord is willing to forgive everyone. If I'm talking to a Christian who is out of fellowship with the Lord because of sin, he has forgiveness for you. If we confess our sins, he's talking to his own children. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now may the Lord bless you richly today. And keep on reading and look for Jesus on every page. We pray in his name.